Psalm 101, a walk with a perfect heart. To me, Psalm 101, it really set standards for our life. David knew to lead a good, godly life, but in order to do that, he's going to need somebody's help. Who would that be? The Lord. If you want to live a godly life, you're obviously going to need the Lord to help you. Did anything jump out to you guys in Psalms 101? Well, let's read it, and I think you'll change your mind. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. He's singing. And how many people just during the day just randomly start singing praises to God? I mean, if you haven't, start, because it brings joy that's just unimaginable. I mean, I could be having the roughest day, and I could start singing, I heard an old, and that story reminds me of my story and how God lifted me up, and it is the greatest thing ever just to be able to sing. And I love that King David, when he's writing this psalm, he mentions he sings, and he mentions it a lot in the book of Psalm. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So David, I believe at this time he is starting to be a king. He's a newly king, and he wants to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. And I'm glad he reminds himself, I better behave myself. And that's one thing that we do every day. To remind ourselves that we're not living for ourselves, we're living for God. And verse 4, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. That they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. So David's being pretty picky about who's he wanting to hang out with. Do you think that's a good idea? I can tell, especially with younger generations, who we hang out with, we tend to be. If we're hanging out with deceitful sinners, people that are always choosing the wrong way, it won't be long before that influence affects our life and we're going to start behaving in a wrong way. And David had so many great friends. Do you guys remember that friend's name that saved David's life when he was older in life? It's a weird sounding name. Abaddon. Ah, never mind. But basically, that friend was a friend that he stood up for David. And I can get you the name later. He's the one that, you know, this person was yelling at David. And he's like, yo, you're no good. I'm going to kill her. He's just running David down. And this guy said, David, do you want me to go kill him? And David's like, no. But this guy also saved David in battle because David was growing weary. Ring a bell? Not to me either. So David, he's wanting to do a great job as king. People he knew would influence him. And his heart was with God. And he was striving to be with God. Psalms 102. Now, I think this song does a complete turn. This is one of the psalms of affliction and mourning, and there's a few of those in the book of Psalms. And anybody know who wrote this psalm? We know Job was afflicted. It possibly could have been him, but as we read it, we could also think maybe Jeremiah, Nehemiah, any of those prophets from the exile possibly could have wrote it too, but we are not sure. It starts with, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily." So he knows God's going to hear his prayer. He's, "Let my cry come unto thee." But then he takes it a step further. Our lives, when we know God is with us, you know, we don't worry as much. But here he's basically begging, "Don't hide thy face from me." When the presence of God leaves us, it just is such a sinking, sorrowful, depressing feeling that we need to know, at least have, "Let me have your presence with me." I mean, if I'm going through tough times, this storm has completely wiped away my house. Sure, I can cry unto you, but I want to know that you're there and you're going to help me. Verse 3, "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an earth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin." So he is in quite despair. "For my days are consumed like smoke." That's interesting. He's just saying that his days are short, like our life is like a vapor. Or it could also mean maybe it ain't worth much. Like smoke, it comes and it goes and it's no longer around. It really didn't make any difference. You ever try to just bottle up smoke in a jar? Did it just stay in there forever? No, it dissipated. It was really useless, good for nothing. So how this writer is feeling right now has got to be pretty awful. "I am like a pelican of the wilderness." And I'm going to need help with these animals, because when I was reading this week, I was like, pelicans and owls and sparrows. So y'all need to help me on this one. "I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone up on the housetop." So are pelicans in the wilderness? The way my thought was thinking, pelicans are on the ocean. But being out of place? Okay. So he's feeling out of place. An owl in the desert. Owls are, that's what I was thinking too. So then I was like, okay, now what's going on? And a sparrow alone upon the housetop. They're everywhere. All right, so then that word "alone" jumped up with me. You know, most birds are in a flock, but these ones are all alone. And I'm thinking, now he's alone. I mean, he's crying out to God. He's wondering if his presence is with him. He's alone. He doesn't feel like he's worth much. "Thank you for helping me. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of thine indignation and thy wrath. For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down." What is indignation? I really don't know either. Okay. Because it's kind of like wrath, you're despising something maybe. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And now this last part of that, "For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down." Y'all ever watch wrestling? These wrestlers will pick up a body. And they won't set them down gently. They throw them, and they crash to the floor. So now this writer's going a little bit further. He's like, dude, now I'm just hurting. I mean, does it have to be this rough? Just cast me down? My days are like a shadow, verse 11, that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Mercy on Zion, verse 12. Now Zion, would it be correct to say that's very close, you know, that's Jerusalem? But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. So wait a minute. He's saying how worthless and how he's feeling just terrible right now. But now he's saying how awesome God is, that he's going to endure through it all. We may not, but God is going to. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. So what is that set time? If we're talking about Babylon and the exile, it'd be the 70 years would be a set time. Let's really go out there and talk about Jesus. I mean, Jesus suffered just like the first verses we read. I mean, he hungered. I mean, he felt alone. He also turned himself in to that night from the garden. And he was resurrected, just like Zion will be resurrected. But what must happen if this person who's from verses 1 through 11 is in such despair and he wants to be resurrected? What must happen before any resurrection? You have to die first. And here it's talking about God enduring forever. And, you know, when we bury ourselves with asking for forgiveness of God and he comparatively wipes all of our sins away and we're born again, we know we're going to be resurrected one day to be with him. Did we leave off in verse 14? For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayers of the destitute and not despise their prayer. So we know God's going to hear our prayers. He's going to answer. And a lot of times, even with the catastrophe that's going around us, we wonder why. But just know that God's got this. God is bigger than anything we could ever face. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Shall be written for the generation. Do you think that's us? Do you think it's written for us to help us? And the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. And I'm so glad that we can praise the Lord freely. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength. In the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. The years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like garment as a vesture. Shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Does that inspire anybody in here? That God has laid the foundations, that everything else is going to get rid of, but those that are saved. I mean, we could look around this room, just look to your right and left, and this is what really matters, is our souls are going to live for eternity. Psalm 103 and 104, I believe, kind of could combine them. And same thing with Psalms 105 and 106, which would be the end today till next week. Now, this is David writing again. Do we have any guesses from the previous Psalm 102 about what that was about, who wrote it, where it was from? Nobody wants to jump out on a limb and possibly be wrong. Good thinking. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, let me ask this adult class, is our youth restored? Okay. Too much. All right. It's too early. And absolutely. I mean, the way God renews us every day. I mean, it might not be bones and joints, but our spirit and our soul is doing jumping jacks and cartwheels when he's really with us. All right, verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Amen. Any comments? He doesn't chide. Does that mean he's not going to continually be correcting us, chiding? Yay, nay, possibly. I don't mind being wrong all the time. Good. I look forward to that because, I mean, I enjoy the corrections. I mean, we get corrected because we're loved. And to be so close to God as David is, David is known as the man after God's heart. I mean, I could just imagine that whisper that he was so close. Even if God was just in that mighty, still, small voice, he could hear it. And if you have ever left your house without prayer or Bible study, and you hear God saying, hey, I kind of want to hear from you this morning. I want your undivided attention. I don't want you just going down the road talking to me. I want you to be alone. I want in the closet, in that secret place. Verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 10 seems pretty awesome. He has not dealt with us after our sins. His grace. I mean, his undeserved favor. We're getting exactly what we do not deserve. We're getting so much more besides eternal life. We have his Holy Spirit, his Comforter living inside of us, guiding us, directing us. We have his word to study. I mean, God is just continually blessing us over and over and over again. As far as the east from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Pitieth, that seems like a strong word. What do you make out of verse 12? Verse 12. Verse 13. So in verse 12, east will always continue going east no matter what. And west will always consider going west. But when you go north and south, they loop. But that brings me to a great thought. Us as Christians, we have our sins forgiven. We bury our past. But how come sometimes we still go visit that gravesite of our old sins? It's like we're connecting. But that has nothing to do with God. That's us, you know, backsliding and turning. That's just an extra bonus thought today. Like a father pitieth his children. Pitieth means have mercy upon, maybe, love. As a father, does that make sense? Okay. Sorrow. Oh, I could imagine. Just like when we mess up with our bosses or our parents or whoever's around us, it causes kind of a friction in that relationship. So when we mess up, it kind of pities God's heart. It breaks his heart. All right, thank you. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, as he flourisheth. So our life is going to be pretty short. And there might be a devastation, a wildfire, a storm that might wipe those grasses and flowers out quicker than expected. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember the commandment to do them. I want to talk about fear, because there's a lot of good things when we fear God. What is that fear? When I was in high school in the 90s, there was a no fear t-shirts were pretty huge. Everyone loved no fear. We don't have any fear. We're not scared of anything. Reverence. Yes. So I don't want you to think that God is some scary creature that we just need to be afraid of him. The word fear is, as Sharon said, respect, but reverence, like utmost respect. I mean, just the true passion and love. Agree? Fear of messing up. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, because I think that's a big word, and a lot of times, especially when we think of fear, we think of being afraid and scared, and like, ooh, it's like, no, that is not it at all. And just to clarify that, it is just reverence. Verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So are we prepared to bless the Lord through it all? Through it all. During the storm, I asked a question. We were camping out at the church, and I asked a question. Who's willing to die for the Lord? And of course, it was, yeah, I'm ready, Tom. You know, let's do this. Then I asked, who's ready to live for the Lord? And then it got a little bit more quiet, because that's a lot harder to do. I mean, sure, living for the Lord, that is quite a commitment. That is just giving him every single part of our lives. And sometimes it's tough to do that. Yeah. Exactly. Born twice, die once. Born once, die twice. I think I got that backwards. Born once, Born twice, die once. Did I say that first? Okay. Clarified it. So are we enjoying the first couple psalms? There's some good words in there. Again, Psalm 104 is going on about God's marvelous creation, blessing the Lord. It starts with, let's go to the last Psalm 106. And in this Bible, the introduction says, God's mercy endures forever. Who's got a Scofield Bible in here? What does the introduction say? Nothing. The story of the people's rebellion and God's mercy. Anybody have anything different? Wonderful. All right, well, it starts Psalm 106, the same way we start every morning, praising the Lord, giving thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Isn't it great to have a God that's always there, always is? And I know through the Psalms it mentions that, but there's a verse in the New Testament, pop quiz, what is it? He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Hebrews. Chapter 13, verse 8. And just to see the relationship, Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus Christ through it all, it's amazing. Verse 2, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. So true. Any comments? Let's continue. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. And I see our lives mixed in that. I mean, how often do we do the same things? That we don't understand, that we don't quite comprehend, that we make a complaint, that we want it this way, but it's not God's way. Yeah, the Lord's there through it all. Luck has nothing to do with it. Yeah, nothing happens out of luck. Everything is ordained by God. I mean, that's his omnipotence. Is that the correct one? Omniscient? All right, good. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, God's mighty power. Verse 9, he rebuked the Red Sea. Verse 10, he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemies. Could you imagine what Pharaoh was thinking when he was on that shore? I mean, how many times have throughout all the plagues from Egypt, when God was freeing his people, did Pharaoh see the mighty power of God? His heart kept being hardened. And Pharaoh, when he was on that shore and he's watching his people go, you know, his heart was hardened. And he was like, there's something fishy around here. But God, you know, urged him to keep going. And that's God's plan. He's to protect his people. And just like we are his people, don't worry about the consequences of punishment if we're doing God's will. And the waters covered him. Then believed they his praise. Then believed they his words. They sung his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. God, even though we mess up, we're Christians, as you have so received Christ Jesus, so walking, we do that, and we mess up, and God still gives us his leanness. He gives us his best. He loves us so much. Oh, yeah. Exactly. The question is, today, these people seen the Red Sea part. They seen food falling from heaven. They seen just God doing miraculous things, water from the rock. It's just crazy things. And to me, I chuckle a little bit because I see these people and they're like, oh, and they messed up again. And they just got done witnessing this stuff. See, there's one key difference. These people didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. And that's kind of hard to comprehend, that they just didn't have that comforter. So they didn't have that presence of God inside them at all times. So I think not having that really helped them stray a lot easier, if stray is the right word. Anyone disagree? Comments? About why these people just kept messing up over and over again. Now, I know Christians mess up over and over again just as much, but we have that Holy Spirit convicting us, drawing us closer to God, where they didn't at that time. So we might feel guilt and shame a little bit more quickly, and we're not going to be, oh, Lord, I want to die type of attitude. Yes. David, the question with David, all he did, adultery, murder, and just a bunch of nasty stuff. Did David go to heaven? Yes, he did. God in the Old Testament, he has truth and righteousness. He's the perfect judge. So we know from his adultery, his family was punished. His children went through some pretty terrible, disgusting things. But suffer the consequences of the sin. He never gave up on God. Which was his son from Bathsheba. That is hard to understand, and especially someone like David. David's not the only one. We could look at Moses. He didn't want to go help the people. Elijah ran to God. He just wanted to die. Jonah was tried to hide from the presence of God. There's so many in the Old Testament that were like, why would they be in heaven when they did all these awful things? Where am I going with this? Yes, and probably, I think is a little too lenient. I think I might got the wrong question from you, but I will say there's a guarantee that they would be in heaven because their heart was for God, as David was a man after God's heart through his Bible. He repented, and throughout, you can see his sorrow throughout the Psalms. Is it Psalm 53 or 51 that was really his Psalm of repentance? He did, and even King Solomon, his son, was worshiping burning incense to other. How much can we do? Let's say, how much can we do in the Old Testament before God says enough? And we see that throughout the Old Testament. God says, enough. The flood wiped them all out. Sodom and Gomorrah wiped them all out. Jerusalem, Judah, sent them to exile. There is a line, but God gives you a chance to repent. In each one of those cases, God didn't just say, all right, you messed up, you're done. He sends a prophet, he sends a priest, he sends somebody to help warn them. And that's the same thing in our life. God sends, Holy Spirit convicts us. Does that make sense at all? Through his psalm, he asked God, search my heart, O Lord, reveal to me anything that might be hidden. And that was David's plea for forgiveness. Yeah, it's with the story of the neighbor's lamb and the king. That's another time. Sort of. No, and that's why Psalm 101 is great, because that's David's plea to be better and to behave himself. I mean, David knows, hey, I can mess up at any time, but I need you, God. I need you to guide me and direct me. And David just had that heart. And that's why I could guarantee you that we'll be able to go and talk to David and be like, hey, man, what's up with this? Time, just like we do, yeah. I mean, maybe not out of grace, but he's backslid. He did some wrong things. And I couldn't give you the scripture, so I don't want to just give you something wrong out of the Bible, but I know that he had that repentant heart in him. Yeah, prideful, humble. Yeah, that's why every time you see a steeple and, you know, at the bottom it's big, you know, we're full of ourselves. We're thinking we're all that. But then as we get to the top and we get closer to God, that steeple gets smaller and smaller. So the closer we, and the more we put ourselves last and God first, that's the closer we get to him. And yeah, I think Saul was on that bottom where he's like, I'm all that. He was all wrong. Absolutely. Wow, y'all are getting, I like this. Now, this is a lot better. We could go for a little bit longer now. We got some voices. The last two verses of Psalm 106. Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen. Everybody want to read the last four words? Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's take a little break.